on today's show.
Someone asked me, "Ooh, do you think you have the gift of singleness?" And first of all, there's unfortunately negative connotations to that, but I just think I know for now I do. And I don't know how long it'll last. And so I just want to live in such a way by God's grace that I can make the most of it and see the things about it that are so great, because there are so many. And then, hey, if he ends up giving me a different gift later, I won't feel like I've wasted this one.
Stay tuned. Friends, when was the last time your church had a Missions Sunday? And how did it go? Did people take steps of obedience to the Great Commission? Or did the message go in one ear and out the other? Well, here at ABWE, our team has created a new resource that's everything that you need in one free resource packet to pull off an effective and biblically grounded Missions Sunday. We're calling it Send Sunday, based on Acts 13, where the first missionaries are sent out from a local church. This isn't just getting people to think about missions. It's challenging each church to ask the question, Lord, whom would you send out from our midst? And how can we hold the rope for them? Download everything that you need for Send Sunday, including sermon resources, a sample order of worship, lesson plans, small group discussion guides, a prayer guide, and more. Everything that you'll need to make sure that Send Sunday effectively challenges your congregation with what the Word of God says about missions. Go to missionspodcast.com/sendsunday and get access now to this free toolkit. Again, missionspodcast.com/sendsunday. And we'll celebrate Send Sunday with you on June 8th, 2025. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined by Scott Dunford, pastor of... what's the name of your church again? Oh, yeah, Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And I need my afternoon coffee very clearly. And Scott,
I wasn't going to bail you out there, Alex.
No,
Alex, you didn't. Even built our website. So, like, he's got no excuse.
It's true. There's no excuse. There's no excuse.
He's basically an employee of our church, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I keep wanting to name your old church. Which I'm not sure I'm allowed to name. Anyways, We're still figuring out who we are, and we're glad you've joined us on that journey. Someone who knows who she is, though, and knows what the Lord has called her to do very clearly is our guest, whom Scott is going to introduce just a moment from now, who's served faithfully with ABWE for almost the last decade. And so excited to dive into today's topic, talking about something very relevant to a lot of workers on the field. Before we dive into that, if this show has been a blessing to you, if this episode ends up being a blessing to you, remember to share it with a friend. You might, particularly with today's topic, think of somebody in your life that needs to hear this content, and leave us a positive review in your podcast platform of choice. That does help other people to discover the show, thanks to the power of the algorithm. Scott, why don't you introduce our guest to us today?
We're really excited to welcome Mandy Vermilia. She's been with ABWE for the last 9 years in Montreal, Canada, which, you know, Canada doesn't feel like a foreign country until you go to Montreal. Then you're like, oh yeah, this is not America anymore. And about 2 years ago, she started a ministry called Flourish. And she's kicking around a new idea. No, I'm just kidding. We were teasing offline that she was going to start a new ministry called Forge, for single young men. but Flourish is a ministry kind of geared toward equipping, encouraging, blessing, single missionaries, single female missionaries on the field. And so I'm kind of excited to talk to you about this and dive into some of the questions that I think, you know, Alex had made a comment that, you know, it affects a lot of our missionaries. I think it probably affects almost all of our missionaries directly or indirectly. So just dive right in. I'm going to ask you a question. You can kind of give a little bit of information about yourself that I might have butchered. But let's just dive into the big question of, like, is singleness a gift? You know, I think that Paul clearly calls it that. But often in the church, we kind of view it as, like, maybe it's a gift, but it's like the gift that nobody wants. So what do we mean and not mean when we use that terminology? So Mandy, kind of introduce yourself and then talk about what we mean and don't mean when we talk about singleness as a gift.
Well, thanks, guys. It's great to be here with you. So I've been ministering here with ABWE for 9 years in Montreal, Canada. And the whole idea for this ministry, it's just interesting how God kind of led me into it. I'm at a church here in Montreal that is a very low average age. I'm one of the older people at the church, which is kind of cool and kind of weird at the same time. But what that means is we have a very high population of, you know, 20s and 30s. And as I started befriending and having relationships and friendships with the single women in our church, just realizing there was a need to kind of bring us together to talk about things. I was having a lot of individual conversations and then realizing, man, there's patterns and overlap all over. So I really feel like God led me to kind of bring us together and just kind of create a space where we can talk through things. Even if you're not going through it right now, it's good to know someone else's. You're not the only one experiencing, you know, some of the difficulties. And so God really blessed that. And it was a really neat experience. And then about a year into it, I went to ME. And that was probably, no, for sure, the first time that I realized, oh, there's a lot of single women in the mission. It really hadn't been a, you know, a blip on my radar. And
I'll say for the sake of our non-ABWE listeners, Missionary Enrichment Conference. That's annual conference for the ABWE family. Continue, Mandy.
Yes, thanks. That's a good point. But it was just this interesting moment where at the beginning of one of the main sessions, they were recognizing missionaries for years of service and whatnot. And I just kept seeing a couple go by and then a single woman and then another single woman and then a couple. And God used that to really just start to like create this thought like, okay, what is there anything going on for us? I knew I wasn't aware of anything. There had been things in the past. So anyway, it took a little while, but I eventually just started asking questions and sort of it turned into, yes, please do something because there was something in the past and it was great, but we haven't really known what to do since then. And so, yeah, I just like to say that I've been along for the ride because it's a total God thing. And just kind of figuring out what that looks like. I'm still kind of, you know, figuring out as I go, but we have over 120 women all over the world. Some of them are still raising support. Some have been serving for, you know, 50 years. And so just this, you know, how does it look to support them and encourage them? Yeah. And I think I'm going to get to your question in a minute. I'm not stalling, even though it's a doozy, but I think that when the really three words that really came to my mind and have become sort of like the mission and the desire is to empower these women, to make them feel valued and make them feel heard. And so honestly, like being on here today, I feel like is a big piece of that. Cause I just, there's so much that goes into that. And I think that, we can all struggle maybe with feeling those three things, but I think there's something about being a single woman, particularly in a ministry context where those things are amplified more. So, so anyway, that's kind of little blurb about me. Yeah. But to answer your question, I find this a really interesting question because I think that it depends who you're asking, obviously, but as a single person, and this made me laugh, I've heard it said so many times that singleness is the gift we all wish we could return, you know, and there is something to that. And I personally have had times in my life where someone would say something about it being a gift and it just makes you want to roll your eyes because that's not how it feels a lot of times. And people are trying to like put a positive spin on it maybe, but it actually is. And so I think the challenge is, what does that look like? What does that mean? And I heard on a podcast that I really enjoy following, someone said so simply, he's like, if you're wondering if you have the gift of singleness, I can tell you a really easy way to know. If you woke up today single, then you have the gift of singleness. And I think it's this idea of it's a season or it's going to be for my whole life. I don't know. And for now, I need to pray. And for me, it's been, Lord, help me to see and understand what that means that it's a gift because it doesn't always feel like it. But I have a feeling that our married friends might also say that sometimes marriage doesn't feel like a gift either. But it's where God has put you. It's the context in which you're living your life. And so I think a lot of it, I don't really subscribe to, someone asked me, oh, do you think you have the gift of singleness? And first of all, there's unfortunately negative connotations to that, but I just think I know for now I do. And I don't know how long it'll last. And so I just want to live in such a way by God's grace that I can make the most of it and see the things about it that are so great, because there are so many. And then, hey, if he ends up giving me a different gift later, I won't feel like I've wasted this one.
Hey, listeners, we know you believe in missions. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to or watching this show. But have you ever wondered what your next step with the Great Commission should be? Maybe the Lord is leading you to serve somewhere yourself. Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a part of sending someone from out of your own church. Well, wherever you are with missions, if you're ready to get serious and find what your next step is, ABWE's 24-hour demo event is for you. Now, it's great to listen to a podcast about missions, but there's nothing that beats the in-person fellowship that can only take place face-to-face, where you're alongside other people that are in your similar station of life, thinking and praying together about your next steps. So if you want to join us at our next event, they happen all throughout the year at our Harrisburg, Pennsylvania-based international headquarters. You can go to demo.abwe.org. Again, that's demo.abwe.org, and use the promo code podcast for a discount on your registration fee. So it takes all excuses away. What are you waiting for? Come find your next step with the Great Commission at demo.abwe.org, promo code podcast. Now back to the show. Let me drill down a little bit on that. You said so many things there that I thought were interesting and helpful. The idea, especially of the givenness, the gift nature of everything about your station in life, which I think is what Paul is getting at when he says to the Corinthian church, let each one remain in the state in which he's called. He's not saying that there aren't some states that are better or worse than others. After all, he talks to slaves and masters, and he says, if you're a slave, feel free to take advantage of the opportunity to be freed. But you can still glorify God in that state. And really what he's getting at is, yeah, providentially, wherever the Lord has placed us is a gift, whether that's what we would have selected for ourselves or not. But I am curious, would you make a distinction and say, well, there is a type of Christian in church history that has a particular aptitude, let's use that word, for celibacy, where they're single, they don't desire relationship, they're not open to it, they don't have the sorts of desires that many of us do have, and perhaps because of that, they're able to decisively accomplish perhaps more for the kingdom than a person who also has family considerations, who's serving the Lord, but in other ways. Like what Paul describes. Do you see that, or do you really focus more on what you see in your own individual life, is whether it's for the next, 5 years or the rest of my life, this is just where I'm at now. How do you distinguish those things?
In a broad sense, I would honestly say, like, only God really knows that, right? And so are there people, I have single friends who are like, you know what, I'm good. It is not something that I struggle with. They don't have, the feelings of, oh gosh, I wish I still could get married, that I could share, my life with someone and partner with them. And I think that's great. They have other struggles perhaps, but so I would say for sure, could God really give someone just that sense of, you know what, no, this is good. And I hope it lasts forever. I think that is absolutely possible. But I don't know. I think that we need to even hold that loosely, because you don't know what God's purposes are for your life. Right. And so maybe you'll be single for a long time and God's going to allow that to be so fruitful and for your good, for his glory. But hey, maybe he'll change your mind. And so to me, just relying on and leaning into God's sovereignty in that, and just knowing, but I'm sure what you're saying, absolutely. We've seen people throughout history that were single their whole lives. And even if we don't know the ins and outs of whether they struggled with that or not, clearly there are things about being single that open you up to greater, or I don't want to say greater, more fruitfulness in certain areas. Because like you said, you don't have the same, your attentions aren't divided, right, in your family and all that.
Yeah, we look at, so many amazing role models in modern history of like Amy Carmichael. Could she have done what she did if she had a husband and children? God gave her hundreds and thousands of children that were not that she didn't give birth to because of that. Gladys Allward, you know, we you know, Lottie Moon, we could go on and on of names that these aren't even dealing with our ABWE missionaries.
Right. Oh, it's so true.
You know, and then you have people, you know, I'm preaching through Ruth right now for Advent, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, God, there are some people that like were married, like a Naomi and a Ruth, that become single, not because of, because of God's providence. And just, it's unique the way God uses our circumstances and puts us where we need to be for what we need to do. I was thinking about some of the ways that single missionaries have impacted our lives, you know, and when we were in Western China, we had a single missionary that we worked with, actually a number of them, but one that she was just devoted to language and paved the way for a lot of missionaries because she could do things in the languages that others could not do. And we all piggybacked on her ability to get what we needed to do. And then other single missionaries that came in and supported us through like watching our kids or things like that. I'm even thinking about like then kind of an extreme examples of like Elizabeth Elliot and Jim Elliot. And like, if you ever read their biography, his journals, like he was committed to singleness. Like, I'm going to go die for Jesus in the jungles. I cannot be married. I cannot have kids. And then Elizabeth was the same way. And then it's like, no, God had other plans, and they fell in love and realized, oh, singleness isn't going to work because I'm in love with this person. And, you know, God had a different role for them in that unique season. So I guess my question out of that is this, like, what are ways that singleness can be uniquely leveraged while you're in that position for God's glory and the kingdom and mission?
In a real general way. And I want to be careful with this because sometimes there can be comments or things that are said that, again, they're true, but they might rub the wrong way to a single person who feels like it's just, you know, you're slapping kind of a nicety on a situation that sometimes can be really difficult. But the fact is that, okay, I'll speak for myself. I do have so much more flexibility than any of my married friends. And I shouldn't, at the same time, you shouldn't feel, you don't put this extra weight on yourself. I always have to be going. There's obviously balance and there's wisdom in that. But the fact of the matter is, even with Flourish, like, I can find out about a conference where some single women will be 2 weeks before, a week before, and I can just go, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of that. There's the ability to just be more adventurous, if I can put it that way, for the Lord, and try things and really kind of experience a lot of different facets of ministry, because I don't have to worry about being home to make dinner for someone or, you know, juggling multiple schedules of my kids and whatnot. So I know that's a really vague answer, but I do think, on one hand, the negative piece to that is that people sometimes will say, oh, well, singles just have so much time on their hands. So be careful of that, right? There should be a sensitivity in that, because we are most likely trying to steward that time well and fill it with things that, you know, glorify the Lord and are a part of our ministry and serving. But it's also true. And so I just think, again, just leveraging that time, do as much as you can, you know, and really enjoying it. Yes. But also using it to the full, because if your marital status changes, all of that changes as well.
Well, you've shared a little bit about some of the advantages. What are some of the challenges, not only that you've faced personally, but then you're ministering to other single female missionaries that are in a position like yours? What are those struggles that they're facing?
This is really timely because I was actually just talking with one of the missionary women this morning, and she was focusing on the fact, so she's finishing up a certain stage of her language learning and really is being encouraged to just go out, you know, meet people so she can have these more natural conversations to continue to build up her language capacities and confidence. And she said, you know, I know I need to do it. And I know that God will provide the things, the people, the opportunities, but it's hard when you have to go and do it by yourself. And she's like, I know because of times I've experienced it where just having a partner, and she clarified even in the conversation, I'm not talking about a husband or anything, but just another person to go and do these things with, like, it adds confidence to her. It brings her a greater freedom. She knows that you know, if she's struggling in something in the language, that person can help pick up the slack. And so I think take that and kind of just transpose it across the board. There is something to, it can feel lonely and it can feel the weight of all the responsibility, everything, like it's all on me. Right. Yeah. And so, and we know, and we even talked about it this morning, like, can God bring those opportunities? Can God bring her that boldness and strengthen her and stretch her? Absolutely. And he probably will, but it doesn't take away the fact that it would be really awesome to have someone to kind of share that load with. And so we're praying specifically for that for her, you know, but, another area that comes to mind immediately that's kind of related to that is the whole support raising situation. I think anyone who's raised support, whether a single or married, you know, that is, it's a bear and it can feel like a full-time job. And the interesting thing is, like, for a single woman or a single guy, you get to do all of it. You know, there's no divide and conquer. If you are afraid of public speaking, too bad. You need to figure it out, because if you want to share your ministry, you're going to need to overcome that. And so again, so many times, you know, you see God, you get to witness the Lord becoming and growing you and becoming those things for you, but it's something that's felt for sure. And it just adds a lot of extra pressure because you're it. If you don't get it done, if you don't follow up, if you don't, you know, it's not going to happen. So those, I mean, those are two things that come to mind right away.
Yeah, I think we take it for granted as married people. I mean, Alex and I were both married pretty young, like even last night, you know, we were just kind of wrestling with some decision making, and I could come home and kind of vent to my wife and then sit around and talk about what we're going to do. And, you know, I remember one of our good single missionary friends, you know, saying to us, you know, like, I don't have anyone. I was frustrated that she was so slow in making decisions. But it's like, she reminded me, like, and we were really good friends, you know, and she just reminded me, like, I'm making these decisions by myself. I don't have anyone to, like, go home at night and, like, talk it through with. And it's like, we just take that for granted. If you're married, that those are all that discussion is, a lot of that discussion is internal, not that saying you don't have friends to talk things through, but it's a little bit different because, you know, you're not sharing every aspect of your life in that way. And that is a unique challenge for sure.
What would you say, Mandy, are some of the ways then that you would want to see, and we would want to see too, the church itself, not just a ministry like yours, fellow missionaries, as important as that is, but the local church, we'd say it's their number one responsibility to be sending the rope, holding the rope well, selecting qualified individuals to serve on the field, making sure they're plugged into healthy teams where they can flourish. So what would you say that the church can do well in light of the challenges that single female missionaries face in particular? And would you say that there's situations where maybe a church is wise to say, you know, right now, this place, this time, this risk, whatever situation, where maybe a single lady by herself is not the best person to put on this field, and let's find this team over here where there can be that support structure that everyone needs, but especially a single?
Let me answer your second question first. So I think that, again, that's a big discernment wisdom piece, because I wouldn't want the decision to be made so quickly, just like, oh no, single woman. For sure, there's factors to consider. Is it, you know, physical safety? Are those things? But one thing that I've been really encouraged by ABWE's leadership lately is just this, even within the leadership structure, this empowering, you know, like, you have an idea, let us help you make it happen. And I think that, again, it's everything is about balance, right? So yeah, you want to be wise. Is it safe for her in every way to go and do that? But also, man, this is so exciting that God has given this to you as a desire, and how can we come alongside you? So yeah, there's for sure considerations. And honestly, sometimes it might be hard to hear that, and we need to trust, you know, our church leadership or the other people that know us well in those decisions, but just not to be too quick to jump to that, just because, you know, I've seen a lot of, even just within our mission, women doing some incredible things. And so, a bit of a caveat to that answer. But as far as the church goes, and, you know, I think this is true of ascending church, but also it's interesting. I've heard from women who are not on the mission field, but they are in a ministry, some kind of ministry in their local church. And so this resonates across the board, but I think that sometimes, and I'm sure single guys feel this way too, so I want to be careful to include them as well. Sometimes single people can feel invisible or can feel like the church doesn't really know what to do with you. And so what that unfortunately can mean, even if it's not intentional, is you kind of just get put over to the side. And so I will say for me personally, even as a missionary, that what I appreciate the most is knowing that you care and that you have taken a little extra time to get to know me. And I think too, so if you compare for just a minute, like a single missionary with a family. So if they were coming to, if the family's coming to visit, the tendency would be, let's remember how old the kids are. What are their interests, you know, and really dig in to make them feel welcome. Well, why wouldn't you do that for your single missionary as well? You know, and unfortunately I've heard from a lot of women that it's been really hurtful sometimes to feel like, well, okay, you're coming and we'll give you this amount of time, you know, in a Sunday school class, but they don't. And I understand, like, there's some churches that have so many missionaries, and it's a lot to keep up with. And I never want to ascribe wrong motive, but I just think being intentional to get to know her as a person or him as a person. But I've had people ask me, you know, what are a couple of things that I should know to better serve the single women, like on my team, even as missionaries. And I love the question because I know it comes from the right place, but I'm like, you're asking the wrong person. Don't ask me, ask her, you know? And so I think just to have even a more, an awareness that she can probably tell me, I should create a space where she feels comfortable sharing with me, so that I can, you know, better come alongside her and meet her specific needs. Because we don't all feel the same about singleness and we're not all in the same place about it. So
you're not all the same? What?
No, I know it's so weird, but it's true.
People have their own opinions.
It's crazy.
What? I mean, can I just follow up on that, Alex? Just
yeah,
real
go
quick?
For it. Yeah. Yeah. Because so we'll
as a pastor
slightly.
Myself, you know, here's your chance to speak to all the pastors who might be listening and go like, hey, this is what I wish they would do. Like, what do you, in your dream scenario, how do you want pastors to relate to you? Because sometimes pastors are just kind of awkward when it comes to women in general. I think we get so
speak for yourself, Scott.
We get so gun shy about like, oh, I don't want to cause any kind of weirdness or whatever, or they're completely not concerned with that, and that's also a cause for concern. But like, what would you what do you wish pastors would do in relating to you?
If I can be real honest about that last part, I think in the right willingness for appropriateness in relating, you know, even just male, female, all of that. A lot of times, unfortunately, the single woman can be made to feel like she's the threat and she's the problem. And I don't know that it's necessarily done intentionally, but I have talked to multiple women. I felt it a little bit, thankfully, not too much, but, just be aware, like in your desire to be appropriate for sure, but make sure that she knows it's not because of anything she did. It's not because, ooh, you know, it could be a situation that it becomes inappropriate because you're not married. No, just be really careful and aware of how you're even approaching that so that there's sensitivity and she knows you want to protect her just as much as you want to protect yourself. I think that that's a big piece and something that unfortunately I'm afraid has been mishandled to the detriment of single women because they're made to feel like somehow it's their fault if there's weirdness or it's just not handled really well, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. So you're not radioactive is what you're getting at. What about the concern that some pastors would have who look at the mission field in general and see, well, there's a lot of good humanitarian activity. There's a lot of, you know, travel agency style poverty tourism missions, right? But then what we want to do specifically is church plant. And so effort and emphasis goes towards let's recruit pastor, elder qualified men for that work. What would you say within the context of teams that are planting churches together, is the role of single women in particular supporting that work of a church plant, even when you have elder qualified men that are a piece of that conversation, but there needs to be a team of people involved at the early stages of any church, right?
I'm kind of laughing to myself because I'm like, Alex, did you read the article I just wrote about this? But here's the thing. I think, I mean, church planting is incredible. It's never going to not be something that we need. It's a biblical mandate. But if I think the easiest way for me to say this is make a list of all of the different responsibilities and roles that need to happen for a church plant to get off the ground. Take pastor off of the list and then go down and see how many of these could a single woman do? And the answer is a ton of them. And so I know that is a really frustrating thing for a lot of women to hear. And it's not that we disagree with how important church planting is, but it's kind of sidestepping, or it feels like a blanket statement of, oh, well, sorry, you don't qualify because you can't be a pastor. Well, I don't want to be, but I also have so many things and so many abilities that, I mean, I've been a part. So my parents were church planters for years. And then I had the privilege to be a part of a church plant in Traverse City, Michigan, before I moved here to Montreal. And oh my goodness, like it's all hands on deck, but there are so few things that a single woman can't do. And I would argue back to the time thing. I have more time to invest in a lot of those things. So again, you know, the balance of not going crazy and just dumping everything on that person, but please don't disqualify or discount rather a single woman from your heart for church planning simply because she can't be a pastor. I think that's
well, and if I could say a few things to that as well, I think all hands on deck. You're right. That's if you're reducing what has to happen to plant a church to only what a pastor can do. Don't get me wrong. Right. You need preaching, teaching, shepherding, ruling. Those are essential. But you also don't want to overinflate the role of the pastor to where only the pastors and elders and deacons can do anything. That's a surefire recipe for burnout, period. That's not healthy. To have a healthy church means it is all hands on deck. It's the pastor, it's the pastor's wife, it's his children. It's also the singles of the church, male and female, engaged in all sorts of ministries of helps, of serving, of making disciples at a peer level, of all sorts of things that can be done to care well for each member of that body. And I think that's something critical. We're not saying anything negative at all about church planting, but we're saying, okay, a church is a congregation of people, which means there's a variety of gifts and functions that have to be brought into a new cultural context as well. Mandy, we're starting to run out of time here. I do want to shift to this. What would you say to encourage the single person who, the single lady in particular, who's maybe listening to this and is just feeling like, yeah, I feel like I'm the radioactive one. I can't raise support. I've said all of these things in my missionary presentations, and my goal is to be a part of a team and to be operating in this healthy way. And yet things still aren't working for me with my supporters or with my church or with my team. What would you say to encourage that young or maybe not young, but that single lady?
Yeah, I would say, and this is without discounting how difficult it can be, but I think at the same time, you know, we talk a lot about the importance of preaching the gospel to yourself. And I think that this goes back to that as well. Like, preach the gospel of God's promises and his call on your life to yourself. And really, I've asked him, I'm like, Lord, you call this singleness a gift. So I'm going to need you to show me what that means. And he answers that. And I think that he honors our desire to embrace the life that he's given us while also understanding that sometimes it's not what we would want or we would wish, you know, for something else. And so I would just say, find people that you can talk to about this, because the problem I think sometimes is we get tired of talking about it. And that turns into me realizing, or rather thinking, that we're the only ones struggling with it. And that has been something I think there's so much freedom that can be found in being honest and vulnerable with others. And so that would be an encouragement, like surround yourself, find some people that you can talk honestly about the struggles, but then also, in terms of the support raising, so I am actually back in a pretty big season of support raising because my ministry is, as it expands, I'm going to be moving back to the States. And I just, the Lord met me in a really incredible and very sweet way a couple of weeks ago when I was just praying through the feelings of the overwhelmingness of it all. And like, there's so many funds I need. I'm reaching out. It doesn't feel like things are clicking. People aren't responding. And it was just this idea of my need. And I'll explain what I mean by this, but my need actually isn't real in the sense that God isn't waiting because he's still figuring out how he's going to provide for me. He already knows. He knows who's going to join my support team. He knows the amount I need. He knows that he might exceed it, all of that. And so it feels like a need to me because I just don't see how it's going to work out, but I can rest. And that was just, I mean, I just let that wash over me. And I was so like, oh my goodness, Lord, like help me to remember that you care how I feel in this, but also I can rest in the fact that you already know all of it. You know how you're going to provide, you know, what it'll look like when I get there. Will I get to the field and be like, oh, this isn't what I was expecting? And God knew. Even if you get to the field and everything you thought you were going to do falls apart, he brought you there for this time and he's got it under control. And so I think if we can go back daily, you know, hour by hour sometimes, and just remember he knows he's in control, and to really learn how to rest in that. And that goes across the board for any of the needs or struggles within singleness, I think.
Amen. Resting in the Lord. Yeah, we all need that, don't we, Scott?
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, Mandy, how can people get in touch with you? How can they find out more about Flourish? And where can they find more of what you've talked about and written?
Sure. I would say right now that's a little sparse. I'm trying to be careful in terms, some of our ladies are in closed countries. And so there's a need for sensitivity there. I would love to hear from you even just as a starting point by email. So I can be reached by my email address. Also, I do have a, well, I actually, you know what, we'll just leave it at that for now. If you contact me by email, I can put you in touch with maybe some other ways of keeping in touch with my ministry. There is also on ABWE's page, there is a Flourish page that has some videos and some other things that kind of talk more about the ministry. But yeah, I think email is a good place to start.
And your email would be?
It would be mandy.vermilia, and I'm sure that's a really easy spell, right?
Super easy.
At everyethne.org. So everyethne is our North American branch of the mission.
Right.
So maybe that can go in the show notes.
That's right. We will put the proper spelling of your first and last name in the show notes.
Perfect.
Mandy, thank you for joining us today. For the rest of our listeners, what about the men? We haven't really discussed single men. Scott and I are going to pick up that conversation in the overtime. If you'd like to hear the overtime episode, simply subscribe to our premium club. You can do so at missionspodcast.com/premium. And for $9.99 per month, not $999, but $9.99 per month partnering with the ministry. Yes, you will get access to our exclusive weekly bonus episodes and more. So what are you waiting for? Come on over. The water is fine. And if you'd like to get in touch with Mandy, you can do so using the link in the show notes. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email alex@missionspodcast.com. Who knows, maybe you're one of our single men and you want to talk to some of the single ladies that are in the Flourish group. Again, message us for whatever reason. We would love to hear from you. Until our next episode, go make disciples of all nations. Thanks for listening.